Radio Prague News.
Canada is going to lift a visa requirement for Czechs visiting the country. The police have charged five people over a contract to produce tickets for Prague's public transport system. And a group of original Baroque statues has been returned to Prague's Charles Bridge after restoration. Canada will, in the near future, lift a visa requirement for Czechs visiting the country. The news was reported by the site Canada.com and confirmed on Thursday by the Canadian Embassy in Prague. Ottawa imposed the restriction 4 years ago following a spike in asylum applications from Czechs, many of whom were from the Roma minority. The Czech government had appealed to the European Union to put pressure on Canada to abolish the visa requirement. The police's anti-corruption unit has charged five people over an overpriced contract to produce tickets for Prague's public transport system. Among those facing accusations, including manipulation of public tenders and breach of trust, is Martin Dvořák, former director of the city's transport authority. The case centres on the awarding in 2008 of a contract to provide tickets for the transport system to the company Neograph, which has since itself admitted it received too much for the service. The Czech president Miloš Zeman says that when he was prime minister in 1999, he did not know whether any members of his cabinet were aware of information regarding the ownership of the company Appian. It bought a huge mining company in a deal that last week saw the latter's former managers found guilty of large-scale fraud in a Swiss court. Mr. Zeman made the comments on a visit to the central Bohemian town of Nymburk on Thursday. One of those convicted, Antonín Koláček, said some members of Mr. Zeman's government knew that he and his associates were behind Appian. The website of the citizens' rights party Zemanites has disappeared from the internet, the news site idnes.cz reported. The owner of its domain names, Miroslav Šlof, shut down the site. He said he was angered that pornographic images had appeared on it recently, when it was evidently the victim of hackers. Mr. Šlof, a well-connected political strategist, was prevented from standing in Prague by the Zemanites' leadership. He was a long-term political ally of the party's Miloš Zeman, but the two fell out following the latter's election as president. Fugitive former Member of Parliament Petr Wolf has settled the 5 million crown financial penalty he received alongside a six-year jail term for subsidy fraud. The final instalment was lodged by his wife on Thursday. Mr. Wolf, who was a Social Democrat backbencher, has been in hiding since failing to turn up to begin serving his jail term in January. He's believed to be somewhere outside Europe. Diplomat Jan Sechter is set to become Czech ambassador to Vienna, the Czech news agency reported on Thursday. The post in Vienna has been vacant for almost a year. A number of Czech embassies are to receive new heads following a period of deadlock when President Miloš Zeman and the then Minister of Foreign Affairs, Karel Schwarzenberg, disagreed sharply on some postings. One concerned the sending to Bratislava of Livia Klausova, who is perceived as having supported Mr. Zeman's bid for the presidency. On Thursday, the Slovak government approved her appointment. A group of statues comprising Christ the Saviour and Saints Cosmas and Damien has been returned to Prague's Charles Bridge. A team of restorers commissioned by the City Gallery Prague cleaned, treated and repaired the original Baroque statues over a three-year period. A spokesperson for the gallery said on Thursday that in time it would probably replace all of the original statues on the 14th century bridge with copies. The inaugural Signal Festival of Light has got underway in Prague on Thursday evening. The event, which runs over 4 nights, will feature leading European video mapping teams projecting moving images onto 4 buildings in the city, as well as dozens of installations created by Czech artists. The festival takes place between 7:30 and 11:30 every night, and it's free. The weather, it should get warmer in the coming days, with temperatures reaching up to 19 degrees Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find more stories at radio.cz. But for now, That's the end of the news.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Masha Walensky. Coming up in our program, Canada is getting ready to lift the visa requirements for Czechs once again. Then, President Miloš Zeman's recent comments have incensed anti-smoking campaigners. And later on in Panorama, to mark the International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, we speak to Salvation Army's Pavla Vopelákova about the rise in poverty in this country. The Canadian Embassy has confirmed media reports that the government in Ottawa is on the verge of lifting visas for Czechs. Visas for Czech citizens wishing to visit Canada were reintroduced in 2009, following a rise in the number of Roma people seeking asylum. The Czech government had appealed to the European Union to put pressure on Canada to abolish the visa requirement. Rob Cameron has more.
Canada's newly appointed ambassador to Prague, Otto Jelinek, confirmed to the Czech news agency on Thursday that the reports in the Canadian media claiming Ottawa was on the verge of lifting visas for Czechs were true. Canada's post-media news site had been reporting that the federal government was expected to abolish travel visas for Czechs within weeks, quoting Canada's Citizenship and Immigration Minister Chris Alexander as saying the government had been working for some time to get to this place. The move, he said, should be seen as a measure of good faith and an important step forward in relations with the Czech Republic. The reimposition of visas in 2009 had deeply angered the Czechs. The country had appealed to the European Union to put pressure on the Canadians and had even threatened to refuse to ratify the Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement, CETA, a key trade deal between Canada and the world's largest economy. The visa issue has for several years been a thorn in the side of Czech-Canadian relations. Canadian citizens enjoy visa-free travel to any country in the Schengen area, which includes the Czech Republic. Until 2009, the reverse was true as well. Any citizen from the Schengen area, including Czechs, could visit Canada freely and stay there for up to 6 months. In July 2009, that changed when Ottawa, alarmed at the number of Roma asylum seekers from the Czech Republic arriving in Canada, suddenly reintroduced visas for Czech citizens. Now, Czechs aged 18 to 35 can apply for a tourist visa at the Canadian Embassy in Prague. The rest have to make an arduous trip to the embassy in Vienna. The number of Czechs visiting Canada, a country with a large Czech emigre community and lots of people going back and forth, has fallen by one third as a result. Canada has said in the past it must first be assured the numbers of asylum seekers would not rise again before agreeing to lift visas. Relations between white Czechs and Romanies have, if anything, worsened since 2009. Regular neo-Nazi marches have targeted Roma communities in recent months. Certainly there's no guarantee that Czech Roma won't decide to board a plane and once again seek asylum in Canada, where many of their relatives now live.
Rob Cameron reporting. While many European leaders are concerned about healthcare costs related to smoking, the Czech president Miloš Zeman opposes curbs on the habit. Indeed, on a visit to the country's biggest cigarette factory on Wednesday, he made an unlikely recommendation with regard to starting smoking. But an anti-smoking campaigner says his views have no place in the modern world. Jan Richter has this report.
The outspoken Czech president makes no secret of his vices. A heavy drinker and long-term chain smoker, he only curbed his consumption of alcohol and cigarettes after he was recently diagnosed with diabetes. Mr. Zeman opposes a Europe-wide trend towards regulating smoking, which he says would threaten jobs at a large Philip Morris cigarette plant in the central Bohemian town of Kutná Hora. On a visit to the factory on Wednesday, Mr. Zeman, who is known for his biting wit, made an unusual recommendation to the assembled employees.
Já sám jsem začal kouřit až ve 27 letech.
I myself only started smoking when I was 27 years old,
when my organism had fully developed and tobacco could no longer harm it. So let me recommend your children to do the same. Wait until the age of 27 and then smoke without any risk whatsoever.
A poté kouřit zcela bezrizikově.
While the workers applauded, not everybody appreciated Mr. Zeman's unorthodox view. The Czech Republic has one of the highest levels of adolescent smoking in Europe, with around 20% of 15-year-old boys and girls lighting up at least once a week. Eva Králíková is a leading Czech expert on smoking-related illnesses. She says the president should weigh his words.
Even as a joke, it's not very very fortunate. Such a joke may be acceptable before 1950, but not in the 21st century. It's like a recommendation to start inhaling exhaust gases after you are 27. We now know every cigarette is doing damage, and there is no safe dose of tobacco smoke. So easily, it looks like Philip Morris hires Czech presidents, because the previous one visited them as well.
During his visits to the cigarette plants, the president reiterated his objections to the EU's anti-smoking efforts, saying that regulating tobacco consumption would only increase the illegal cross-border trade in cigarettes. The Czech president himself lobbied for the tobacco industry on his trip to Brussels last month. In a meeting with the Speaker of the European Parliament, Martin Schulz, he said MEPs should approve a more liberal version of the EU's anti-tobacco measures. In the end, that is what happened, to the president's delight. The Czech Republic remains one of few EU countries to still allow smoking in restaurants and other public places. Despite relatively high numbers of smokers in the country, however, the vast majority of Czechs are in favour of such ban. Eva Králíková blames the tobacco lobby.
About 80% of Czechs would prefer non-smoking restaurants, but still we don't have them. So it's another point where we can see tobacco industry lobbying, to say it politely.
Eva Králíková ending that report by Jan Richter. As a reminder, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. To discuss or comment on any of the stories you've heard today, go to Radio Prague's Facebook or Twitter pages. And now it's time for Panorama. This week, Daniela Lazarová discusses the rise in poverty around the Czech Republic.
October 17th is International Day for the Eradication of Poverty, and this year it is more than just a formal acknowledgement of a global problem. According to statistics, 1 million Czechs are now threatened by poverty, and 400,000 are living in extreme poverty. The Czech government recently unveiled the country's first ever national strategy for the homeless, of whom there are 30,000 people in the Czech Republic, and underscored the need for social housing. For this week's edition of Panorama, I spoke to Pavla Vopelákova of the Salvation Army about the rise in poverty in the Czech Republic.
We can see many people that are really living on the edge. We can't really confirm that the numbers are increasing, because our capacities have been full for many years. But we see it especially if our in-day clients that are coming daily to our prevention programs, and with the amount of consultations that we have to do to these people.
In many EU countries, the poor are getting poorer and the rich richer. The gap is widening. Is that the case in this country as well?
Yes. This is clearly visible. You know, that there is a huge difference between those that are living on the higher side of the society and among those that are recipients of the social benefits, and therefore living on a really day-to-day, and they even have to take different loans to cover their daily expenses.
Apart from helping the homeless, the Salvation Army is also, I believe, helping those who are at risk. Are you also shifting your attention to those who are struggling with inadequate food supplies or are at risk of losing their homes?
Yes, definitely, because at the moment in the Czech Republic there are about 30,000 homeless people. But as it was said, another 100,000 is threatened by becoming homeless in the very near future. And one way of preventing this is to support the people before they become homeless, because the prevention is so much cheaper. cheaper than actually having the people on the street and then coming back to the normal life through the hostel or social institution. It's 7 times less expensive when we do the prevention in the early stage.
And what kind of help do you offer them?
It's on certain levels. Obviously, we are helping with families who are threatened by execution from the flat, you know, so we are helping them to liaise for the debts that they might have, you know, so we are talking to the owner of the accommodation, whether it's municipality or commercial accommodation, trying to arrange for payment calendar so the people can repay the debts that they might have on energies but also on the rent. We are helping people to find jobs, even though this is really difficult because the unemployment is growing, especially in the Ostrava or other industrial areas. So, and also the people can come to our centres and get psychological support, but also legal support, you know, so they know how to act, you know, what to do. And really, we are there for them to support, you know, whether it's practical support or emotional, spiritual support.
Who are your clients? Are we talking about single parents, older people?
Basically, it's both. You know, it is single families, you know, whether it's father or mother with children. Also, it's families with more children, you know, 2, 3 and more. But also many seniors are getting into this group, you know, that they need extra help and support.
There is no social housing in the Czech Republic for the present time. Is that aggravating the problem?
Yes, definitely. There is not sufficient financially affordable housing, and I think that's the biggest problem, because even with some seniors, they are living in an accommodation which might be owned by the municipality. The flat, it's large for them to be in, but there is no replacement for something smaller, and basically the rent, it's not affordable for these people, especially if you are living out of one income. Very same situation, it's for single families, because obviously, again, when there is only one income to the family, then it is a big problem, and especially if that one income is missing through unemployment or illness, then it's a very, very difficult situation.
So what can you do in this area?
Well, in this area, we are trying to cooperate with local municipalities, because it's their duty to look after the people living in their district. So we have, at the moment, 80 training flats, which means that some clients, before they become homeless, they go to this training flat, you know, so they are being supported or supervised through our social workers and on maintaining, you know, the usuals, paying for the rent, keeping good relationships with the neighbors, you know, just living in a normal standard way, and here and then they are receiving some support from our people. At the beginning, it can be once a week, you know, then it can be once a month, until they are totally able to live and be full supportive on their own. And then usually the flat becomes their own flat still. And the rental contract, it's not then with the army, with the Salvation Army, but then it's between the client or newly tenant and the municipality. And the Salvation Army is receiving another flat. So that's one group. And the other group is obviously those clients who go through our reintegration programs within the social institutions. They go through the hostel and they are equipped, you know, or able again to look after themselves. So they are moved to the flat, and again there is a support from our social workers, and if everything is working out, after 1 year, 1.5 years, 2 years, it depends with every single client, the flat is really, it's again transferred to them and we are receiving another one. And I think this system would be really helpful, you know, if it's working in other cities, because then the municipality is getting a client who is reliable, who is able to look after himself, who is regularly paying the rent, and therefore no people who are not paying.
The government recently unveiled a strategy for the homeless, a long-term strategy which you helped to draft. Are you happy with it?
Yes, we are happy with it, because we were actually able to use our experience and our long-term experience, our conception on social housing, and we were able to sell this information to the ministry, and we were part of that group, you know, that was meeting together for nearly 5 years since the very early stages. So yes, we are very happy with the conception. The only question is whether it will be put into action, you know, so next year or 2 years later, you know, then we can come back to this and see how things are. Because at the moment, as it is, if everything is working out, if the steps are being taken, then it should make a big difference.
Poverty is something people are often ashamed of. Do you feel that people leave it too late to ask for help in terms of handling finances or addressing a housing problem?
Definitely. This is something that people are not proud of, you know, and especially if you know that you are not handling the money, then some people are too slow to say, look, we are getting into trouble. And I think in this this area, the people have to take the courage, you know, and tell the people that they've got to pay regular payments, whether it's mortgage or something else. They have to say, look, we, you know, we are in this and that situation. We need you to help us to sort it out. The truth is that, you know, the poverty, it's usually also with the people who are on the low scale of education, you know, so for them the social contact with institutions or with whoever, it's complicated. And also they are not used to planning for the future, you know, so they usually live really month to month. So for them to see in a long term, it's not quite possible. So we again have to be proactive in this area and try to ask them, you know, the right questions so we help them to sort out the future for them.
Is there also a lot of prejudice around in society, that such as that people out of work do not actually want to get a job and that kind of thing, a stigma yes. associated?
Yes, it is a big myth, you know, especially among the homeless people, that they are lazy and that they don't want to work and they are just sitting around the public places drinking and abusing the people walking around. We have to say from our experience that the homeless people are willing to work, you know, and they want to accept jobs. But also it has to be said that they are being abused, you know, and many employers are taking the easy way out. They tell them, you know, look, come and let's see, you know, after 2 weeks whether you are a good worker or you are not a good worker. They don't get any payment after the 2 weeks. If this situation repeats 2, 3, 4 times, obviously the motivation for these people is much, much lower. Also, these people are unstable. You know, they are living in social institutions. Some of them are still sleeping rough, you know, or only using the night shelter. And therefore, the presentation of themselves, so when they are asking for a job, it has a less credit, you know, for the employer. And with the increasing unemployment, you know, the employer usually chooses other people. So it is a myth that they are not willing to work, because we have different work programs for them and we have more people than we can actually provide the working spaces for.
That was Pavla Vobiláková, who spoke to Daniela Lazarová for this week's Panorama. And this does bring us to the end of our show today. Don't forget, we're always very happy to read any comments or questions you may have about our program. You can send them to us via our email address, which is english@radio.cz. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. And don't forget, all of our programs and series are available online at radio.cz/en. From all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us. I'm Masha Walensky, and I hope you tune into our program tomorrow. Goodbye for now.